Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio. My name is Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX. The following articles are from the March 2024 The Spectrum Monitor, and we'll begin with RF Current, News from the World of Communications by Ken Reitz, KS4CR. FCC orders 6 new vehicles to combat FM pirates. On January 24th, as part of its annual report to Congress under the Preventing Illegal Radio Abuse Through Enforcement Act, PIRATE, the FCC noted that Commission staff has continued to place orders and to develop additional customized mobile direction finding, MDFX, investigative vehicles for the field agent hires to enable them to carry out their investigative responsibilities. The Commission ordered 6 vehicles to support the additional staff being hired to implement the PIRATE Act. These 6 vehicles will be outfitted in the 2024 and 2025 calendar years, depending on when the General Services Administration delivers the vehicles, and will include specialized hardware and software for the detection of pirate radio operators. We also purchased additional equipment that will help us identify and locate pirate radio operators. FCC slaps 5 Miami FM pirates for $3.5 million. In a press release from January 25th, the FCC proposed the maximum allowable under the PIRATE Act, $2,391,097, against Fabrice Palaniche for allegedly operating a pirate radio station known as Touche Deuce during 22 days in 2023. Palaniche is one of the longest operating pirates in the Miami area, having previously been issued forfeiture orders in 2013 and 2018. The FCC also proposed fines of $358,665, the maximum penalty for 3 days of violations in 2023, against 3 additional pirate radio operators. All 3 individuals have been operating pirate radio stations for years and have received multiple warnings to cease their unauthorized broadcasting. Lastly, the FCC proposed a forfeiture of $120,000 against another single individual for operating a pirate radio station during 3 days in 2023. As explained in the FCC press release, Miami has been a hotbed of pirate radio activity for decades, many of which target Miami and Dade County's large Haitian community, said to number over 100,000. Second only to New York City, which is said to have over 150,000 Haitians. There is one licensed radio station in the Miami area, Fort Lauderdale, WSRF, that claims to be the first and only Haitian-owned radio station in the nation, with 10 kilowatts day, 1.5 kilowatts night, on 1,580 kilohertz AM and 99.5 megahertz FM. The programming is in French and available online at the station's website. In their station ID, WSRF notes it serves Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and the Bahamas. A second AM station in Miami, WKAT, was sold in 2017 by the Christian broadcaster Salem Media Group to Miami Haitian broadcaster Nelson Voltaire, described in Wikipedia as an activist and known on air as Piman Bouk. WKAT, 1 kilowatt day and night on 1,450 kilohertz, is also found on the FM band on 102.3. Programming is in the Creole language, one of 2 official languages of Haiti. FCC notes that it does not collect the proposed fines, but refers failures to pay such forfeitures to the U.S. Department of Justice, DOJ. To date, the DOJ has not responded to a press inquiry regarding payment of pirate radio fines by the individuals named in FCC documents. Bell Canada to cut 4,800 jobs, selling 45 radio stations. According to an article from the Canadian Press appearing in the Financial Post February 8th, Bell Canada Enterprises, BCE Incorporated, is selling 45 of its 103 regional radio stations while cutting 4,800 jobs. The report noted that affected stations are in British Columbia, Ontario, Quebec, and Atlantic Canada. Last spring, the company laid off 6% of Bell Media jobs and sold or closed 9 radio stations. The article quoted BCE's chief legal and regulatory officer as saying, "We will continue to operate ones that are viable, but this is a business that is going in the wrong direction." BCE stock, which is traded on the New York Stock Exchange, is certainly headed in the wrong direction. It peaked in May 2023 at just under $50 per share and has been on a steady downward trajectory, trading at $37.52 per share following the announcement. JAXA lands first amateur radio station on the moon. JS1YMG is the first amateur radio call sign assigned to a moon-based amateur radio station. Launched as part of Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, JAXA, Mission Smart Lander for Investigating Moon, SLIM, on September 6, 2023, two small lunar probes named LEV-1 and LEV-2 were released just before SLIM made touchdown on January 19th. LEV-1 contains the 70-centimeter amateur transmitter sending Morse code on 437.41 megahertz. Special receiving equipment is needed to listen to the probe because its transmitter has only 1 watt to work with. In addition, special software is needed to decode the data being sent. Odyssey has a new idea, subscription radio. Articles in various media sources reported January 24th that U.S. radio conglomerate Odyssey, currently in Chapter 11 bankruptcy, has been considering the launch of subscription streaming, which the company hopes will add up to $20 million to its revenue stream by 2027. Odyssey stock began the year at 21 cents per share. By the second week of February, the stock was just under 7 cents per share, a fall of 67% year-to-date. The company had not released specific details on the subscription fee or what listeners would get in return. Is Anyone Listening Department Part 1? A 200-foot AM tower is stolen in Alabama in broad daylight. An article in Radio World Online from February 4th reported on the theft of a 200-foot tower belonging to AM station WJLX, 1,240 kHz, in Jasper, Alabama. It wasn't clear when the tower was stolen, a massive undertaking, but the thieves also took the station's transmitter. The station's FM transmitter and antenna are in a different location, so the FM station remained on the air. While station engineers plan to ask the FCC for a Special Temporary Authority, STA, for a silent AM station while they figure out what to do, the station remains on the air, operating as an FM translator only. The FCC already warned that they could not remain on the air with only the FM translator, because translators aren't allowed to originate programming. According to the report, the tower was not insured. Is Anyone Listening Department Part 2? BACO brings down AM tower. On February 6th, Radio World Online reported that a 199-foot tower belonging to an AM station in Mississippi was brought down when a BACO working on a new foundation for the station's transmitter building backed into a guy wire, causing the tower to collapse. According to the article, the station's CEO said that the construction company hadn't bothered to call the station, which also streams online, after the accident to let them know what happened. "We didn't discover the damage until Monday when we couldn't get the AM transmitter to come back up remotely." The AM tower also hosted the station's FM signal, which was also taken off the air. Quarter 4 2023 data on how America is listening. Edison Research's Share of Ear survey of individuals over the age of 13 for the fourth quarter of 2023 showed that AM/FM listening, which includes over-the-air and streaming radio stations, fell 1 percentage point to 36%. Streaming music, which includes pure plays such as Pandora, Spotify, and others, gained 1 point and hit the 20% threshold for the first time. Owned music, listening to CDs, vinyl, owned digital files, etc., dropped by 1 point. New worldwide listening guide released. Every 2 years for the past 22 years, noted shortwave radio author John Filiozzi has published the Worldwide Listening Guide, an actual print publication, the 11th edition of which is now available. The 170-page, 8.5-by-11-inch spiral-bound book is a crucial shortwave listener's resource to all programming that's on the air and online. At a time when many legacy shortwave broadcasters have left shortwave, Filiozzi knows that many shortwave listeners have not stopped listening and that program content is now found on several different platforms, which include over-the-air, satellite radio, Wi-Fi radio, and podcasting. The Worldwide Listening Guide is designed to help English language listeners find the programming content they want to hear, when it's available, and where to find it. For example, while BBC World Service, BBCWS, continues on shortwave, transmissions are limited to specific regions of the world, such as Africa and the Middle East, making it difficult for North American listeners to tune in. Yet many U.S. public radio stations carry BBCWS programming part-time on FM stations nationwide. In addition, full-time BBCWS programming can be found on Sirius XM satellite radio and streaming platforms such as MyTuner and TuneIn. Do you miss Radio Canada International? CBC programming is also found on Sirius XM and streaming platforms. The bulk of the Worldwide Listening Guide, 58 pages, consists of hourly programming in the Guide to the Consolidated Program Listing, which contains some 4,000 individual broadcasts. Filiozzi includes the programming lineup from stalwart international broadcasters heard on the World Radio Network, including Deutsche Welle, Radio Prague International, Radio Slovakia International, NHK World Radio Japan, KBS World Radio Korea, Israel Radio, Polish Radio External Service, and RTE Ireland. Hourly programming from other broadcasters, which Filiozzi calls the Big Six, include ABC Radio Australia, CBC Radio Canada, Radio New Zealand, BBC World Service, RTE Ireland, and National Public Radio are included in the Guide to Consolidated Program Listing. Program content is also cross-referenced in a 28-page listing of programs with time, GMT, and day, according to more than a dozen program classifications, including arts, culture, and history, business, finance, and economic development programs, current affairs, society, customs, sites, people, and cultural values programs, and many more. The Worldwide Listening Guide includes several pages of blank listener's log, where the listener can log the date, time, station, and notes on what he or she has heard over time. If you thought world radio listening was a thing from a bygone era, you haven't been listening. Many international broadcasters from that bygone era are still producing valuable content, but you've got to know where to look to find it. The Worldwide Listening Guide is a must-have publication for newcomers to world radio programming and longtime shortwave listeners alike. The Worldwide Listening Guide is available from Universal Radio for $27.95. Go to universal-radio.com. And now the Shortwave Listener by Fred Waterer. Programming_matters@yahoo.ca. Real oldies on shortwave plus BBC shows. I had a guy tell me once that he grew up listening to me. I said he couldn't do both. Canadian broadcaster Roy Geldart. I have always had one foot in the past and one foot in the future. The other foot is in the present. Yeah, I'm special that way. I like a lot of things. History, music, radio. When I can combine many of them, it's a very cool thing. The international broadcast bands give us one such opportunity. The listener can almost earn a degree in music history and appreciation just listening to shortwave regularly. Thanks to people like Thomas Edison and others, recorded music became a thing in the 1880s and 1890s. For the first time, one could listen to music and artists without having to be there in person. The technology advanced from cylinders to gramophone records relatively quickly, and large companies like RCA sprang up to distribute them. As a result, we have about 140 years of recorded music. Recorded music and radio were a marriage made in heaven. People could hear the recorded music over vast distances, creating demand for recordings among the public, who were snapping up record players and radios. By the 1920s, very few homes existed without both. There is a dedicated group of broadcasters keeping this era and its music alive on a weekly basis. Let's take a look at some of them. Hello, come on up to my attic. Marion's Attic on WBCQ is the gold standard of all such programs. The program is an institution, debuting in the 1990s, and still going strong today. Marion Webster and her co-host, Christina, play some absolutely amazing recordings, dating back to the very beginnings of cylinder recordings. They have quite a collection of players. As the years pass, there are fewer of these working machines. Marion's Attic is keeping many of these recordings alive, taking us back to a simpler, less technologically advanced time by today's standards. Yet at the time, it was very cutting edge. If you want to take a deep dive into this era of music and its artists, this is the place to start. Listen, UTC Sundays at 2200 UTC on WBCQ, 7,490 kHz. Also, check out Phil Patton's The Talking Machine Show, heard on WWCR, UTC Saturdays, at 1800 UTC on 12,160 kHz. I have been interested in early recordings for some time and had Edison cylinder machines, Amberola and earlier, as well as diamond disc players, including the rather rare LP version. The long play diamond disc is an interesting subject within itself. These play at 80 RPM and provide about the same play time as the 33 and a third LP. Edison accomplished this by using grooves much smaller than the 33 and a third records. They proved to be extremely difficult to manufacture and very tricky to play without skipping. They only released 14 records before calling it quits, so they are quite rare. I believe the oldest Cylinder recording I have is from 1898, and the newest records one is likely to hear on the show are from around 1927 to 28. I thought it might be interesting to share these recordings with our audience, so the idea of a program featuring them came to me. All of the songs are recordings I own and played on my machines. A great deal of time went into noise reduction and finding an equalizer setting so that what you hear on a shortwave radio is as close as possible to what you hear in the room. Given that these machines are acoustic and have horn speakers with their own odd resonances and interaction with the room acoustics, the best recording technique and equalizer setting required a good bit of experimentation. The Talking Machine Show is another great source for these very old recordings from the turn of the last century. Many rarities indeed. The next program that I highly recommend is Behavior Night on WBCQ. Are you behaving tonight? Tonight's Behaving Night. Hosted by Sir Jack Scratchy, it is a close look into the music of the 1920s and 1930s, the jazz age. Programs often offer a theme, such as the music of Fletcher Henderson or Bix Beiderbecke. The host really knows his stuff, presenting a mix of music and background information that makes this era come alive. There are 470 episodes in the entire series. Currently, no new episodes are being produced, although all shows being aired on WBCQ on Fridays at 2300 Zulu have had fresh introductions and endings cut, as well as segments edited from the show that were dated, such as references to Radio Angela or other things that are no more, and fresh shout-outs to anyone who wrote in or posted on the social media pages. John Landry, a.k.a. Sir Jack Scratchy. Listening to a few episodes of Behavior Night will certainly enhance the musical knowledge of diehard and novice jazz fans alike. Cruisin' the Decades has rapidly become one of my favorite music programs. Hosted by Brad Savage, it is both engaging and entertaining. Brad was one of those kids who liked to play radio and slid seamlessly into the industry. Thanks to his massive record collection, he combines his knowledge of music and radio into this really cool program. Cruisin' the Decades is about more than just music. The show creates a sense of history, record collecting, broadcasting, geography, and community. Through the program, Savage hopes to bring a shared listening experience to music fans everywhere through the power of music on the airwaves across vast distances. As the name suggests, the program plays a song from each decade of the last 100 years. Episodes begin with the jazz age of the 1910s and 20s, the music then tracing the tumult of the Depression, Lionel Hampton, and the drama of the war years, Andrew's Sisters. Seismic changes take place with the advent of the rock era, from Eddie Cochran to Nick Drake and the Pixies, right up to Nirvana and Def Leppard, and more music that sometimes I am just unfamiliar with, Get Off My Lawn, etc. But that is the beauty of the program. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio. My name is Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.